Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Do me a favor, hit that subscribe button and leave us some feedback. That's the only way we can learn and get better. If you have a moment, head over to disrupteducation.co and you can see my blog there. You can see what's going on in the world of education reform. And also you can connect with me there and I'd love to hear from you. On this episode of Disrupt Education, I got outboxedu.com founder Dennis Ocampo is with us. He's got a journey from basically learning the language of English all the way to basically shrinking the world of academia to fit perfectly behind a computer screen without removing the most important element, the human connection. It's basically bridging the gap between educators and learners on outboxedu. It's a great story. We have our conversation right after this. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, is actually mathematic and scientific and, that matches you up with the best programs and, best places for you. People, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there. And share with other people, and that's really powerful. And that professional networking piece, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future. And excited to see where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. Have you ever thought about creating courses and training online? Without a partner to guide you through that process, you're going to be stressed about why your learners aren't engaged or how to create updated content, missing revenue opportunities, and not even having enough time. I know because I create online courses. And I have a solution for you, eLearning Partners. You don't have to be overwhelmed anymore. Become a partner with eLearning Partners to create your courses and training stress-free and achieve the results you want to see. If you are thinking about wanting to create a course or training online and you believe like I believe that no expertise should go unheard, then click the eLearning Partners link in the notes of this podcast and you can start your journey to create your courses and training stress-free. If you want all that and more from the eLearning Partners, hit the link in the podcast notes because there's a free masterclass for you to take. That's right, a free masterclass. Hit that link today. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Castbox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We got a great one today. We have the founder of Outboxedu, Dennis Ocampo, is with us. And let's just jump right in. Dennis, thank you so much for being here, man.
Hey, Peter, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Awesome, awesome. Tell us a little bit about your background, man. Who are you and what are you doing these days?
Yeah, so a little bit about myself. Grew up in Brooklyn, New York City, right, and then moved to Harlem. But prior to that, my background, both of my parents are immigrants from Honduras, and they migrated from Honduras to Brooklyn. And so growing up in Brooklyn to two immigrant parents was, it was kind of a challenge, right, because in my household, I only learned Spanish, and I didn't learn English until I obviously went out to school and I assimilated with my peers and so forth. So it was very tough. I had a tough upbringing, and I knew that I was different growing up because of that barrier, right? The language barrier that I had. And so as I'm growing up and then I become an educator, I see more of the disparities in schools because as an educator, I have a different lens, right? When you're growing up, you don't see, it's kind of like looking from outside in,
right?
And now I'm inside looking out. And so when I was a child, I didn't see the disparities in schools, but the education system really needs a reform. And so again, being an educator, seeing that, I said, I wanted to build something that allowed for students, specifically language learners, right? Because they were one of the largest populations now. I wanted to help them learn and build fluency in that language, right? And skills in general that will just propel them into the future to give them those opportunities that they probably wouldn't have if they didn't learn the language. So if you know, a lot of people who don't know the English language, obviously, they aren't prepared enough for careers, right? Because right. You need to know the English language. You aren't prepared to go to college, right? Because you need to learn the English language. So that leaves them pretty much at the wayside, as opposed to our counterparts, right? Who are proficient in English and excel and get to do great things in life. So I wanted to change that dynamic. And especially me seeing that growing up, I said, you know, let's build a platform, right, that allows them to focus on their education and create education kind of pathway for themselves, where they can learn whenever with whomever they wanted to learn with. And so that leads up to Outbox EDU, where we're at now. And we've pretty much built or are building a game-based learning platform that allows for teachers, students, to create content and be able to learn and retain knowledge that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do as quickly, you know, in a traditional classroom.
Excellent. And we'll go back into that a little bit more. One of the things I wanted to highlight is I've talked to a lot of what they call the ESL. You're labeled right away. And, you know, one of the things that I've found a lot, even in my own experiences, is there is this label and then there's this, you know, okay, that student doesn't have the smarts or whatever, which is completely false.
Right.
And a lot of people that I've interviewed have kind of told me in different ways that they actually had to try to figure out to learn the language. Most of it is actually through just, you know, cultural pieces of watching television or listening to people. Let's go down that path real quick and kind of what were your struggles and how did you inevitably learn a second language and possibly more after you know, being a youngster?
Yeah. So for me, it was, I leaned on a lot of my adults, like the principal, the school teachers. I also had a teacher that would pull me out of the classroom to help me, right, go over phrases, right, vocabulary, to help me strengthen my fluency. And so a lot of my upbringing was just experience, right? Like learning, like you had mentioned, through TV or through books and just really forcing myself as much as possible to learn the language. And it made it a bit easier because when it comes to language, you have to be in an environment that is, it's just that language. For example, like for me, like I'm very fluent in Spanish, but I don't see how difficult it is until I go to like Honduras or another Spanish speaking country where they're so much more advanced, right? So it's kind of the same idea where it's like out here, United States, right? English is the language. And so I wasn't as advanced and I had to go through all of those experiences to learn the language, right? So that I could be able to communicate with my peers and my teachers and so forth. So that led me to leaning on a lot of these outlets to pick up on the fluency and to become better at it.
When you got when you became an educator, what were the first things that you did to try out and to change the system initially before Outbox EDU? Because obviously, living through it is if there's not a trigger to get you to go and do something, living through your own pain point, that is. So yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was actually a PE teacher. So a lot of the stuff I did was automatically fun. And for those language learners, when it came to certain skills and ideas, we would have to differentiate it for them. But for the most part, a lot of the concepts around the sports, most of them grasped it because, I mean, sports is universal, right? You learn how to play sports from a young age and how to assimilate, right, with people through play. So for me, it was very easy to be able to have a lesson and teach whomever, right, in whatever language, to help them understand that sport. So it wasn't that much of a hard task for me. And I know for like more content-based teachers, it's tough, right? Because how do you translate math or science in a way that, you know, a language learner can understand that? Because it's not as universal, right? It's not like everyone learns, you know, those concepts and subjects at once. So I think I got the easy job when it came to being a PE teacher and teaching them. But nonetheless, it's still a task, right? Because right. You have to modify it so that they understand it.
When you made that pivot into, I will call you an edupreneur. That's what they call us, right?
That's the new phrase now, yeah.
there'll be another one in 10 minutes. But you gamified it. So looking at Outbox EDU, and anybody can go there, it's at .com, right? Outboxedu.com. Yeah. In its gamification, talk about that. How did you build an environment for people to be in? I will tell you before you answer that question, I completely agree. Going through German and Spanish, Spanish in high school and German in college. The only time I really learned a language was, and I'm polite in Spanish, was because I was in a situation where there were a lot of people who spoke it around me. So I completely agree. But you're putting people into virtual worlds and moving that around. So yeah, unbox the Outbox EDU for us a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm a very avid game player, like since young. And like I said, those are one of the outlets that I use to learn the language, right? It just made sense for me growing up playing games to build an environment that allow for students to learn anything, whether it be language or science or math, right? Through gamification, just because of the power behind it. For me, I learned a lot through games more than I did through actual sometimes education and through teachers, just because it stuck with me a lot more, right? I remembered it a lot more. And so for me, it just made sense. Like, I wanted to build a platform that allowed for students, right, in schools to still learn those subjects, right, in a way that they can understand. And that's through games, that's through play. I mean, you think about the earliest ages of human form, right? Like, we understand people through play, right? Mm-hmm. Kids, babies, they communicate through play. We learn skills through play. So it just made sense. It's like, I wanted to build a platform that, again, teachers, right, can even understand, because sometimes there's this stigma on games, right? Where it's like, and I've heard this like since young, like games rot your brain, right? Like don't stay on the game for hours, and you know, and to a certain extent, yeah, right? But I think it does more good than damage. And we're starting to see that now. You see a lot of edtech platforms that are gamifying school, right? They're gamifying lessons. Because it's all about meeting the child where they're at. And in a sense, and I've heard this before, the education system in the United States, you after a certain grade, you start to lose that creativity, right? Because we're so focused on making them workers, right, for the future, that we take away the creativity component that allows them to think freely and, no pun intended, outside of the box, mm-hmm. right? So that's kind of the basis behind the platform. I wanted to build something that allowed for students to have agency in their learning, to take back that kind of passion of learning for themselves, as opposed to having it teacher directed all the time. Because again, it's like you being in front of a big audience, you're only going to get but so much information if you have one teacher teaching one style to the whole group. You have to, as a teacher, meet everyone on their level. So Outbox CDU allows for teachers and students to kind of meet everyone on their level based on their understanding of learning, right? Whether it be through audio, whether it be through visual, right? Whether it be hands-on, in a sense. We kind of try, we want to touch on all of those learning styles so that we don't miss anyone, right? We want everybody to understand whatever it is they're learning in their way, in their language, but just in a way that they understand it.
And, you know, it is so true. I mean, I remember video games growing up, right? You remember leveling up and you actually learned to level up. I've heard that. I remember the rot in the brain and all that a Gen Xer, right? I think one of the most interesting things is what you stated there is, you know, the audio or the teacher-led conversations. You know, I'm a high school educator, and yeah, these students are going through that 7 periods a day. You know, you're trying to give them the creativity, and creativity to them right now is just an idea because they're not really allowed to expand on it. I mean, it's very difficult to do that in time frames. How do you see Outbox EDU kind of like breaking down some of those barriers and letting kids explore? Because there's obviously an exploration tone to it when you take a look at it.
Yeah, so it's similar in a sense, like a lot of other platforms. I don't want to say a lot, but like a Roblox, right? Or Minecraft. You have an open-ended world, and as a teacher, you can create simulations, right? You can create quests that those students can now then go through and then, again, pick apart, right? Ask questions, really delve in deep and understand the concept of, again, whether it be math, whether it be reading, whether it be science, what is the teacher actually teaching and how does that pertain to them? And also, how can they use whatever the teacher is teaching for the future, right? Because we have this model in education where it's kind of narrow, right? We're teaching students to, again, be workers in a sense, but they don't learn anything outside of that. And so with this is we want students to learn outside of what the teacher is just teaching, right? We want them to explore and break down those quests, right? And those simulations so that they can really, really, really have deep knowledge on it. And especially now where everything is kind of like assessment based,
yeah,
it's hard. It's hard to like cram things in someone's brain and expect them to memorize it by the end of the week or the month or whenever that assessment is. It's like we want to teach children things that they can learn now and take into the future. And I'm not saying that education doesn't do that, but there's a missing piece, right? There's a, like a lack of that portion that's needed. And I feel like with our platform, it does just that. And so, like I mentioned, teachers could create content, even students, right, could create content.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing that a lot of platforms don't do is they don't allow students to create the content. And so we want students to create the content too, because we want it to be student-centric. We want them to have agency and autonomy in what they create, because again, you will want to learn something you take more interest in, right? As opposed to something that's just given to you. Like here, you're expected to learn this. Like, learn it. Like, there's no ifs, ands, and buts. And if you fail, then that's it. You know, it's no, like, we should be giving them. And it's like, all right, well, how can we make this in a way that we make it fun for them?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes, kids may have to sit through hours you know, of lessons, but we also have to understand that if we want our schools to be better, if we want higher test scores, we want better data, we have to meet the children where they're at. They're still children. They're not adults. And I think sometimes we treat them as adults because we want them to be adults, but the reality is they're not adults, right? They want to be children. They want to explore. They want to create. They want to build, right? And so we have to give them that so that they can, you know, take that and mold it and, again, learn from that and be the best that they can be from those experiences.
Man, 100%. I was actually just going to ask you how you would change education, but you stated it right there. It's got to be student-centered. They got to take control, especially the older they get. However, you make a very valid point as a high school teacher, and I always have to be reminded of this, that they are not adults. And, you know, even though they want to be, right? And, you know, I have a 16-year-old myself. And, you know, but when they do take the learning in their own hands and they build, and then they have that guidance in there and how the teachers can build. I really like the thought of students actually building this out as well. Wanted to kind of go a little bit into the platform itself. What are the age ranges and what are some of the types of things that you've seen so far in the early days of this?
Yeah, so right now we're thinking of being primarily for elementary, middle school, just because the aesthetics of the platform is very gamey, right? And the layout, it pertains to them more. Like they would want to play with it more. Eventually, we want to make it so that everyone kind of uses this platform, right? Because even adults get bored, you know, even adults want to play sometimes. So if there's something in there for a professional development, right, that allows for adults to go in there and explore and learn on how we can better teach children through a game-like environment, then that's kind of what we're looking for as well. This platform also allows for you to teach a lot of STEM, right? STEAM. Yeah. So all of those things in there help not only just students, but teachers, right? Be better teachers and students be better students. Because it's all about having that feedback loop, right? We want to have, and not only that, we're working on ways to involve parents too, because we want to look at it from a holistic approach, right? Like it's kind of like the Holy Trinity, right? Where you have the parent, the school, and then the child. Right now with school, it's like we have the school, we have the child, but the parent involvement is kind of weak, right? It's not as strong as it should be. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we want to build something that allows for parents to be much more involved in their students' education as well. And if it's through a game, then so be it. Because you see, I know for me, like I can bond with my child through playing games, right? Mm-hmm. Like he loves it. And we can sit there and play games and we can talk about things outside of education just because of the bonding, right, that's there. So that's kind of the idea behind that. It's like we want to give parents the power to be able to bond with their child in a way that they otherwise wouldn't be able to through our platform. So there's a lot of ways that we're looking at it. But that's one of the key things that we're looking at as well. And implemented in the platform.
I really like that because my son, who's 16, he's in the cars and he's got his wheel up and, you know, in the game, and he's actually taught himself how to drive manual without an actual car. Not like us back in the day. And he had a conversation with me about a trip that he took on a shipping trip. It was a trucking game. And, you know, he talked about miles and these things, you know. So there is this behind the door learning. And I love that. And it's, well, I guess I should say outside the door learning that you're doing. What's coming up next for Outbox EDU and how can people connect and get involved?
Yeah, so right now we're still developing the platform. You can sign on, you can create an account, but the gamification portion, it's work, right? It takes a lot of work. We're working on that portion, but that will be the next update, right? Where teachers will be able to go on there, they'll be able to walk around, create their own avatar, you'll be able to upload, right? Digitize your lessons. and then be able to invite students. So if you're on a computer, just like we are right now, you can pretty much give someone an access code. They can join on with their own avatar and you can start learning, right? Start teaching. And that's, I think, right now is one of the main important things we need to work on. There will be other updates as well that we want to implement, but just having that environment portion that people can go into is one of the key things that we're working on right now.
Last question. This is a little bit outside. This is a curveball here, but if you could tell a young student something, words of advice in education right now in pandemic time, an English second language learner, what would you tell them?
I would say dream big, because so often we dream about things, especially depending on your upbringing, right? We dream about things, but we don't think they're attainable. And for me, I know, like, growing up, I probably wouldn't have never thought that I'd be in this position, right, where I'm building something like this. But in the back of my mind, I always knew I wanted to make an impact. And so regardless of how I made it, right, I'm still doing it, right, in a sense, through EdTech, through the platform, through Outbox EDU. So it's still a work in progress, but nonetheless, my dreams have come to fruition. So that's not to say that anybody else can't do it. You know, anybody and everybody is capable of carrying out their dreams, no matter how big or how small they are. But at the end of the day, if you're going to dream, you might as well dream big. So go out there and dream big.
100%. I love that. That's a great way to sign off here. It's outboxedu.com. They just sign up there and go from there. We're going to see some cool things from this. I've taken a look at the platform a couple of times. But Dennis, I really appreciate you. I know that you're a person who really wants to give back and help others. And by doing this on this platform, you are dreaming big, man. And thank you so much for hanging out with us on Disrupt Education.
Of course, Peter, it was a pleasure. And thank you so much. And you're doing great things in this space as well, too. So I appreciate you taking the time out to interview me and every other educator out there as well.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. We appreciate you all. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us some feedback. That's the only way we learn here on Disrupt Education. We'll see you next time.